Dreamwalker, written by Tasha Blythe, narrated by Aaron Miller. I'd been meditating in the Temple of Calissus, left to commune with our sacred dreamstone in solitude through the quiet reaches of the night. Tomorrow, I was to become guardian of the Dream Gate, a mantle I'd been waiting 7 years to take upon my shoulders. A role that was the entire centerpiece for the Society of the Confabulum, a society of philosophers and orators spanning centuries, whose one purpose had been the pursuit of everlasting inquiry. And all fed on the bottomless wellspring of the power of dreams. Earlier, my mentor, Ring Sewell of Palacia, who'd I'd expected to be ready and waiting with all kinds of last-minute advice, had simply embraced me instead. He patted my cheek with a murmur,
"You'll do fine, my son,"
before seeming to melt away into one of the pearlescent, light-filled corridors. Even Sisha, Ring Sewell's granddaughter, whose company I most particularly longed for on this night of all nights, had given me a sweet and encouraging smile before slipping out after her grandfather. As much as I wanted her with me, Sisha wouldn't dream of intruding into another's solitude, not even mine. Unlike the two prize idiots who now slouched as large as life in front of me. Moments earlier, I'd been jerked out of my meditative state, lifting my head and pulling back my hood to confront Humbert Montaban and Fozzle Cram.
"Check out this place,"
Humbert nudged Fozzle, his mouth ajar and his gaze sweeping the glittering crystal walls of the natural high-vaulted cavern.
"We haven't been here since the last Silver Moon ceremony. And even then, it wasn't this far inside. After all, the inner sanctum's reserved for important people."
He tipped his head in my direction.
"Like Atticus here."
I raised my brows, but kept my tone mild as I slid my hands into my sleeves. "Speaking of sanctum being reserved, what brings you fellows here tonight?" Fozzle shuffled his feet.
"Oh, I don't know. Thought we might see what our old friend was up to the night before his big day. Last chance for him to speak to us or recognize us. You know."
Humbert dropped his voice, a wicked glint in his roguish eyes.
"We thought you might let us touch the Dreamstone, like in secret. We won't tell anyone, promise."
He clapped a none-too-clean palm over the breast of his stained brown doublet. I sniffed the air. Yes, the odor wafting into my nostrils was definitely a combination of mulled wine and cider. And maybe even another substance or two, combined with sour sweat clinging to my friends. Which explained much, including their flat-out insane request. Fozzle trained his wide open, slightly vacant blue eyes on me, his coloring unusual amongst the confabulities. In the past, he'd used his angelic looks to wheedle his way out of many situations more times than I could count.
"What do you say, Atticus? Huh?"
pleaded Fozzle in his most winsome voice, as though he was completely harmless and well-meaning, which he most certainly wasn't. I took a step back, the muscles in my face stiffening. "No."
"Oh, come on,"
said Humbert, jutting out his bottom lip, exactly like a child denied a treat.
"Why?"
"One, it's forbidden," I said, counting off on my fingers.
"And two,"
Humbert prompted, waggling his silly eyebrows as though he was playing some sort of juvenile game.
"It's forbidden," I answered, deadpan.
Fozzle, who was always up for a lark, but not the brightest mind in the confabulum, persisted.
"Three."
"It's forbidden,"
I reiterated, my tone heavy, flat, and final. Fozzle narrowed his blue eyes.
"Oh, come on. Are you going to go on saying that forever?"
I eyed him steadily. If I have to. Humbert idly picked his teeth with the blade of his dagger, a delicate operation. Still playful, he waved the tip at me, a shiny pink glob glistening on the end of it. I sincerely hoped it wasn't a chunk out of his own gums.
But you're the dream gatekeeper, so it doesn't apply to you. You're the only one it doesn't apply to.
Elect, I reminded Humbert. Dream gatekeeper elect, and all the more reason for me to respect the pronouncement. The dreamstone glistened, incandescent with swirling and ever-changing light patterns and otherworldly energy. A giant, egg-shaped orb, she towered above us, even where we stood on the topmost level of the winding spiral observatory deck that was built around it. Calissus, the beating heart of the confabulum, infused with immense and sacred power, she was always kept extremely well guarded. Frowning, I peered over my companions' heads, searching for the subtle presence of the gray-garbed shadow guards. They usually lurked at every point where the matrix of glowing corridors connected with the observatory platform. Trained to be practically invisible to the casual observer, I normally had no trouble spotting them. However, how did you fellows even get in here? I mused aloud. Humbert shrugged.
We said we were with you.
I had known the hapless duo from childhood. It was true. And their bumbling selves weighed against my abilities and training hardly constituted a real threat to the stone. Yet still, for them to be so easily admitted into the inner sanctum was a little out of the ordinary, to say the least. Fozzle leaned forward, his voice a conspiratorial murmur out of the side of his mouth.
We may have suggested we were here to keep watch with you the night before your induction. You know, kind of a surprise party, but not really a party.
I blinked, and the guards believed them? Okay. I leaned against the railing, my arms folded in disbelief.
What the hell?
That was kind of you, I continued. But I wasn't really looking for a party. And the highlight of this so-called party will not be touching the Dreamstone.
Not even after some of this.
Jamming his knife into his belt, Humbert pulled a bottle of cider out of his battered shoulder satchel, tipping it side to side in front of my face.
To loosen you up a little, make you more amenable to, say, a dare?
My eyebrows crashed down in frustration and mounting anger.
No!
Swinging away, Humbert slumped against the ornate copper railing, his face scrunching up.
What a poor sport you are, Atticus, and you always have been, as any fuzz.
Uncorking the bottle, he tipped half the contents down his throat in one glugging swallow before swiping his wrist across his mouth.
Mr. Uptight, even during our childhood lessons,
Fozzle nodded sagely.
True.
Clenching my jaw in a bid to retain a sliver of patience with the pair of clowns, I turned to Fozzle. How much of that have you had already? Fozzle blinked at me and shrugged in an exaggerated motion.
Who knows?
A thought occurred to me, one that helped steady my temper. Perhaps this was a final test of my suitability as the guardian of the Dreamgate. If so, it would be best to keep a level head. Someone with such a position of authority would do well to remain calm and assured in a situation such as this. Guardian Ring Sewell had taken great pains over the years to impress upon me the fact that becoming guardian was not simply a matter of being the chosen one. Nor was it enough that my name and image had risen from the depths of the mirror pool of Apollonia, or even the slow evolution of heightened abilities, but about wisdom and strength of character. All right, I said, raising my hands, the embroidered sleeves of my silvery gray robes slipping down to expose decorative, inked arms. I appreciate the thought, my friends. I really do. Most of our fellow students have abandoned me since I was chosen during the previous Silver Moon, and I can hardly tell if they fear or resent me. Fozzle waved a hand.
Both, most probably. You've risen so high.
Yeah,
muttered Humbert, his chin sunk to his chest and sliding into a drunkard, snarky belligerence.
Hardly recognize you anymore,
he waved the bottle.
White hair, freaky silver eyes, those kooky robes, and all inked up like some kind of human painting.
My heart jerked in my chest. It was true, I suppose. I had undergone somewhat of a physical transformation, as I had a mental one. I'd become accustomed to the gradual changes over the last 7 years, but I guess everyone else hadn't. I'm still the same Atticus. I've just evolved a bit, that's all. Which wasn't a bad thing, I reassured myself. Only that I was different, set apart, marked as a clear servant of Calissus.
Humbert rolled his eyes.
You don't say.
Still, as I said, I appreciate both of you coming and your gesture of friendship for old time's sake, but really should be leaving now, especially considering you're not meant to be here.
Oh, that's right, Humbert replied. Only you're meant to be here, your high and mightiness, communing with the Dreamstone, becoming even more of an elevated freak.
He spat out the last word with something approaching venom. Drawing closer to him, I put my hand out, hoping to placate.
Humbert,
he shrugged me off, an irritated and exaggerated motion.
I thought the power of the Dreamstone was meant for all of us. At least, that's what they teach. Why shouldn't the rest of us be in its presence, be able to access it like you do?
It is for all of us, I said, infusing my voice with a soothing tranquility. I'm the custodian. I facilitate that.
Yeah, right. You just want it for yourself,
Humbert insisted, stubborn as 9 mules.
I bet you do touch it when no one else is around. That's how you got like you are. Well, we're not going, are we, Foz? Until we experience it for ourselves and extract some fun out of this dull situation.
No, listen, I commanded, fixing my piercing stare on each of them in turn. This is not permitted. I insist you leave right now. Fozzle threw his hands in the air.
Hey, hey,
he stammered.
No offense meant, Atticus, old boy. No need to pull rank.
I glanced at Humbert, in time to see him shove Fozzle into me and begin to scale the railing.
No, stop!
Humbert froze, my awakened guardian's powers paralyzing him for a split second. He quickly shook it off like a demented terrier. Scrambling further up the mostly decorative barrier, he gained the top and teetered on the edge. A maniacal cry on his lips, he launched himself into the open void directly at the stone.
Yeah!
Sweeping aside Fozzle like a rag doll, I flew, accelerating my motion to a speed I'd never achieved before and hadn't known I could. Air whistled past my ears and my eyesight blurred around the edges, the only thing coming into sharp focus, airborne Humbert. Thrusting out my arms, I interrupted his trajectory, batting him away from Calissus like a human ball in a game of batter's field. I was uncertain where he landed, as my right shoulder connected sharply with a vibrant, humming stone. The hard impact was momentary. Less than a second later, the surface of the stone dissolved like a cloud around me and welcomed me into its glowing and pulsating heart. My soul went up in flame. Or that's how it felt, consumed in a furnace of pure, rocketing power. I was a candle of ecstasy burning out of control, one with the stone. I was the stone. If I had a mortal body anymore, I didn't know it, didn't care about it. Such finite things as bodies, what were they truly? Nothing but measly scaffolds of bone covered and a tapestry of skin compared to the true power. The power of dreams. Dreams upon dreams upon dreams stretching into infinity. Dreams within dreams, within dreams. Dizzy, wondrous, divine. One swam into focus, separating itself from the swirling mass, a pinpoint of pulsating light, impossibly bright like a star. As my soul beat in time with its pulsations, it grew and grew until it swallowed every other awareness, until it consumed my being and spun me into an alternate reality. My body was back, but lighter than it had ever been. Subtly glowing, infused with well-being and garbed in blinding white. A kind of wearable mist. Colors burst into my vision, but not like I'd ever known colors. These were impossibly bright, yet somehow soft around the edges. Wandering through the dreamscape, I marveled. A village came into view, seemingly populated, though I saw no one. Only the evidence of them. Airships drifted by on perfumed air. Winged contraptions wheeled like giant birds in a radiant cerulean sky, shot through with dusky rose, lavender, and violet. Thatched roofed cottages squatted amongst an abundance of verdant green. Other, more unusual abodes hung suspended in the air, round like the bellies of great lanterns. At the moment, they hung still as a painting, but I wondered how they might swing and sway in a strong breeze. A faint buzzing and clicking sound overhead, punctuated by a low chirrup, chirrup. I opened my eyes wide as a fantastical creature, half dragon, half oversized stick insect, floated by, churring through the air like it was water. I drew in a breath. The legendary Hassenbrack, extremely rare, yet completely harmless. Drawing from a deep inner well of knowledge, from the stone itself, I knew what it was. Of course I did. Just as I knew the name of the floating landmass in the near distance. Wildenhall, like a giant fluff ball, yet solid with earth and rock and mass of vegetation. It seemed perfectly right that it should float there where it had floated for eons. Acceptance wasn't difficult here. No stress or strain troubled my brow. Only the amorphous thought, why had humans ever strained so, fretted and fought, when the answer had always been just to be? We hadn't ever had to do anything else, only to occupy the great, be one with the everlasting story, the profound peace. I settled on the bank of a crystalline, laughing brook, content to remain here for the better part of forever. Dragonflies opened iridescent wings, swallows dipped and dived, leaping fish flashed silver in the sun. As I sunk into the musing reverie, the brook went from laughing to singing through the rainbow spray. Sighing, I leaned back on my hands where they plunged deep into the emerald grass and rested my chin on my chest. The singing became my name, chanted in a sweet sing-song voice, a strangely familiar voice that filled my soul with a sudden, intense longing.
Atticus, Atticus, Atticus.
Frowning, I tipped my head to the side. Was the brook calling my name? Or someone else from far away? Another dimension, even?
Atticus, come out,
the voice insisted. Me? Come out? Surely they must come out. Come out of the brook? The voice turned to scolding.
What have you fools done to Atticus? and the night before his induction, he wouldn't touch the Dreamstone or go inside it. Not of his own volition. I know he wouldn't.
I wrinkled my brow at the half-pleading, half-defensive reply. The next voice was wheedling.
We were only curious, that's all, Sisha.
Curious?
The attractive sing-song cadence traveled up an octave.
About what would happen if one of us touched it. Plus, we knew if anyone could access the stone, he could.
Of course he can,
the distinctly feminine voice scoffed.
But will he be able to stop, or will he go on dreamwalking for the rest of his days? That's the question.
No, the dreams have got to run out sooner or later.
Are you kidding? Of course they won't, numbskull. Countless people are dreaming every second. Then there are the dreams within dreams, the lucid dreams, not to mention the dreams people have when they're awake.
Scooping one hand in the clear water, I let it trickle through my fingers, soft as silk. Talking brooks. What a place. The feminine voice continued as I focused owlishly on the miracle of one single crystalline drop.
That's it. I'm getting my grandfather.
No, no, wait. Sisha, not while we're still here. He'll kill us.
Sisha, I mused. Sisha. My heart knew the name, even as my mind turned it over like a mysterious yet wondrous treasure. I put my hands on my head, massaging my temples in slow circles, straining to focus on the hint of a reality beyond the present, all-encompassing dream state. Time spun out like a spool of cotton as the clouds drifted. I slipped into a dream within a dream of Sisha. A dear elfin face, nut-brown eyes, and shining coils of mahogany hair. She raced through a field, laughing, skimming hands over masses of vibrant wildflowers waist high, and all the while beckoning me to follow. But my feet wouldn't move. I looked down to find my legs were tree trunks, their twining roots buried deep into the soil. Into the very bedrock of the world. I'd not free myself for eons. By which time, Sisha would have been long gone, mere ash on the wind, her memory no more than the faintest echo. A deep inner cry burst forth. No! I woke on the bank. Tears on my cheeks and my hands, clutching fistfuls of emerald grass. I knew her now, my own true love. Why had I waited to speak when I could have told her how I felt years ago? Something about the importance of position, as if that truly mattered. I crawled over to the brook, peering in.
Sisha.
Her dear voice echoed back, but faint, like a wisp of remembrance.
Atticus.
The voice persisted, the one I truly hoped was Sisha.
Look, grandfather, can I not go to him? Reach my hand through at least? To touch his? Lead him back out?
No, my dear, I'm afraid not.
Ring Sewell's calm and kindly tones sounded in reply.
Calissus would overwhelm your mind to breaking point because you've not been chosen or trained to wield her power. The stone hasn't destroyed Atticus because she knows him. You, though you're my blood, she would not recognize you.
Then what can I do? Or what can you do? Surely you can do something, grandfather. You're the dream gatekeeper.
Yet it is you he responds to, as we've seen. Keep talking to him, Sisha. Be brave enough to let him see your heart. For clearly that's the only thing strong enough to draw him forth.
I sank back on my heels, still in a powerful thrall to the dream state, the lulling peace and sense of well-being saturating my soul with light. Why would anyone want to leave this place? I shook my head. And not only why, but how? I blinked at the brook, confused. Through the water? It's not real, Atticus, Sisha insisted. None of it is. Not like I'm real. Focus on my voice, on me. I love you, Atticus. The voice broke on a sob. I always have. Come back to me. And there it was. The one reason to leave this place, Sisha. Negotiating the bank, I waded into the gushing crystal flow up to my waist. Right in the middle, the brook began to fade, evaporating at first to mere vapor, and then into nothingness. I kept moving towards Sisha's voice, through flashing lights and swirling mist. Finally, a pair of arms closed around me, enfolding me in a crushing embrace. Breathing her in, I squeezed my eyes shut, afraid to open them. Am I out? Sisha drew in a shuddering breath. Thank the gods, yes. I bent my head over hers, burying my face in her sweet-smelling hair. I'm sorry I never told you before. Finding her damp cheek with my thumb, I stroked it. That I love you, too. Oh, gods, how I love you. Her hands cupped either side of my face. She pulled my mouth to hers. But I hung back a moment, afraid to ask, and yet I needed to know. I'm not freakish to you like this, am I?
Oh, no. No, Atticus, never. You're special and precious is what you are. My own amazing dreamwalker.
A sigh rising from the depths of my heart and soul, my lips sunk into hers. Dear, lovely Sisha, the only dream I'd never want to wake from.